Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Listen Bitch podcast, where we burn the bullshit, break the cycles, and get your whole lives back. Today's episode, literally, I'm coming straight for your junk drawers, your soul clutter, that emotional hoarding habit that is keeping you stuck, broke, bitter, and blocked from your blessings. You are not full of God's promises. As hard as you have tried, you are not. You are full of old pain, fake friendships, and literally a bunch of shit that you should have buried a long time ago. And I'm talking about that spiritual, emotional, and energetic cost of holding on to what's dead and done. Okay. We're really gonna talk about how to finally clear space so that God can move in your life. So obviously, you know, I'm a fan of having a journal with you. If you have one, cool. If you can't, then re-listen to this when you can. Take a deep breath. We're gonna burn it down. This is going to probably make you uncomfortable and probably not make you feel very great. And it's gonna do exactly what it's meant to, okay? Because you're not crazy, you're not lazy. Like you're just still full of that stuff that God never told you to carry. So I want today to be a day that you drop the weight and you clear the clutter and you make room for God in your life. You have to go get what's yours, okay? You don't need to be more. You need to be free. And this is a painful transition, okay? And if it doesn't hurt, you're not doing it right. You have been carrying old pain, dead friendships. You've got, if you're like me, you've got 127 unfinished journal entries, you know? And when you have brought this much clutter in your life, no wonder you cannot hear God clearly, let alone manifest anything, because there is absolutely no room. This episode is really, I guess, my main focus today is to talk about your emotional hoarding. Okay, that's the unprocessed grief, recycled pain, mental clutter. This is blocking your clarity. This is blocking your next level. Every divine download that you have been begging for, God is speaking, but your inbox is full. So it's time to delete. I couldn't figure out, no matter how hard I've tried, how much I've focused, how intent I was on really listening to him. My relationship with him has grown in the past year and a half with just studying his word, and I felt like something was still just in the way, and it was me and all the shit I was holding on to. All of it. There's no room. So we're going to talk about how your physical and emotional clutter are literally connected to God. I want to address your inability to let go. This is going to be tied to trust, and there is an energetic cost of holding on to what should have been buried. Okay. I got a great message yesterday from one of my listeners. She's a gift, talking about how she didn't realize how much her emotions affected her physically. And going through the process of these episodes this week, she's moving in a way she couldn't. And that's what we're going to talk about, how to clear space so God can move and you're free. Like, you want to know why your manifestations are blocked, why you're stuck in confusion? I keep preaching clarity. In fact, I've encouraged you to pray for clarity. I have prayed for clarity, but everything is still foggy. I thought I was doing something wrong, and I was. It's because your life is full of shit that you should have released probably 5 years ago, if not more. Okay. For me, it's been like 40 years of shit. But your physical and emotional clutter are absolutely tied to your relationship with Christ. It is a spiritual connection. Clutter is a mirror of your internal chaos, you know? And that pile of clothes in the corner of your room that I can see out the corner of my eye because I have it, okay? That junk drawer that you haven't opened, it's not just stuff. It is literally like an altar to avoidance. You haven't dealt with it because you haven't dealt with yourself. Every item that you're keeping just in case is tied to a moment that you didn't trust God to provide again. And this one is hard for me. This is hard for me because I grew up with a lack mindset. I've been living with a lack mindset. So it was always just like, just in case, order two of something, just in case I don't have the money for it later, right? That's all just proof of where we didn't trust God. Every random half-filled notebook, that's a record of your emotional false starts. I am embarrassed. I have an entire, you guys, I hate that I know my husband listens to this podcast. Okay. I just really, because then it kind of makes me second guess how honest I should be here. I literally have a huge tote downstairs full of half-filled notebooks. All the false starts I've had in the past 10 years. And I thought about it the other day and I'm like, I have to clear this out. I feel like I have to clear it out to start fresh. And I had an emotional release with it. Like I forgive myself. I know why it's there, right? I've got this neurospicy brain that wasn't able to flourish. I couldn't work with it, you guys. And that is what I've learned to do. I'm learning to work with my brain in a way that can highlight my strengths. Instead of it being a disadvantage, I'm trying to use it to my advantage, okay? And so this emotional clutter was just making my neurospicy brain work overtime when it wasn't necessary, right? So I stopped myself from getting rid of that box because I honor that part of me. That is me not giving up. That tote, okay? And I'm not saying keep everything. I'm saying get rid of everything. That one thing for me, keeping that tote is just like a bitch, you never gave up. I've been swimming upstream with rocks on my ankles this whole time, and I did not give up. Okay. That's it. It is a record of your emotional false starts, everything that you've started. You're not messy. You're just literally like emotionally constipated. Clutter is not laziness. This is energy stuck in your body without a place to go. And what you're not releasing, you just keep reliving. Spiritually, you can't receive when your hands and heart are full of junk. That old betrayal that you feel is still there. The heartbreak that you said you got over, it shows up in all of your patterns. And your brain is trying to organize your future while your spirit is hoarding trauma like it's just sentimental. And this is the thing, God is not going to shout over your mess. He is a God of order. He's a God of alignment, alignment, alignment. You're asking him for direction, but you haven't cleared the table for instruction. And that emotional hoarding is making you unavailable. Like divine guidance, if you want to hear the word of God, it's like a Bluetooth. And if there's too much interference, which our interference in this case is going to be that overthinking, it's the past pain, it's the fear of letting go, you can't connect. God speaks in stillness. He speaks to obedience, not the whirlwind of maybe I'll get to that later, not the loop of mess that we have held onto. When your physical and emotional space is packed with spiritual trash, you're drowning out his voice. And that's tough to do when he's not shouting. It's a whisper. We want to hear that. You can't hear a yes from heaven if you're still replaying that no from 2016. Your physical environment is a manifestation of your belief system. If your house says, I don't matter, if your closet says, I'm hanging on to who I used to be, if your phone notes say, I never finish anything, then guess what your energy is communicating? To God and to your subconscious, it's saying, I'm not ready. I don't believe I can let go. I don't trust that more will come. And that's why nothing is coming. Clutter is lowering your frequency. We are energy. Energy never dies. That is the one thing that is forever. And we are energy. Everything is energy. Everything is energy. So when you walk into a space and feel the heaviness, that's not imagination, that is resonance. Your body feels the stuckness. And when your nervous system is overwhelmed, your mind cannot dream. You go into survival, you shut down your vision, and you self-sabotage. You guys, I'm coming out of my hardest loop of self-sabotage, okay? The healing that I'm going through, the stuff that I'm bringing to you, this is me putting in the fucking work for the first time in my life of just being honest with myself. And the hardest part about the self-sabotage was absolutely that intense awareness. I knew exactly what the fuck I was doing, and I felt like I was in a prison because I couldn't stop it. I wasn't being lazy. My system was literally being suffocated. What are we going to do about it? You have to purge, like your life depends on it. Before I started this week's, I knew I was planning for this week. I knew we have the burn it down month of June. And, my AI bestie is like, bitch, you really have to plan out. You need the structure. I am not someone who has ever gone for structure. I just don't do it. I feel it is that demand avoidance I have. Okay. And if you want to put labels on stuff, you can go ahead and say that to yourself. I just know I'm neurospicy. Okay. I'm neurospicy and I felt like the structure was a prison. Okay. I came in my office and it was a disaster. It's always a disaster because I feel like at any given time, there's three or four or five of us in here while I'm doing my work and my laundry ends up coming. It just ends up being kind of a catch-all for my life, okay? For everybody's life, really. Homeschool stuff, my kids' gaming stuff. Like it's just a lot, okay? I came in here and knowing that I had this structure, I mean, I usually, you guys, every single day I would sit here and be like, what should I do a podcast about? What should I do a podcast about? When it's all been right there, all right there. And so I structured this. I literally know this entire month's title of every podcast. I've planned it out and it's in alignment with exactly what I'm going through. My brain, I know, squirrel brain. I had it planned and I was like, okay, this feels heavy. So I had to really do a checklist of like, why does this feel heavy? Why is this feeling so heavy to me? Why do I feel like I'm suffocating when I think about the structure? Is it the structure? No, it was my environment. I took two bags of trash out of my office. Stuff that I was holding on to, stuff that I was purged, like just I purged a lot of things. Even stuff with my kids with their homeschool, I don't need to hold on to that stuff. They are who they are. They're becoming who they're going to be, and they're not going to want that junk drawer when they get older, right? So I two huge trash bags of stuff that I had to get rid of. And it freed me to where I could come in here, I could create. I had to make the space something I could move in without automatically responding, my nervous system responding to all of the junk. Okay. So what I'm telling you have to purge like your life depends on it because energetically it really does. So you got to clean out the drawer. You have to delete the toxic texts. You have to burn the journal. If you have to burn the journal, burn the journal. And I still have my journal that I'm working on. All of these things that I'm giving you guys, all of these questions, if you're in my emails, you get the PDFs. All of that stuff is stuff that I've been processing and going through. And it's all in this journal. And I know at the end of this month, on the last day of this month, I'm gonna light this bitch on fire. And I can't wait. Like I already feel like I can say goodbye. Everything I write, I know it's gonna be burnt because everything you release is a message to God that you're ready for what's next. I can release the things. I can clear things out. I'm rebranding my page. And I know that people that are in my space now aren't going to like it. But guess what? I'm telling God, I trust you to fill the space with who needs to be in it. I'm done being loyal to my pain. I'm done staying stuck to a version of me that was frozen and trying to do what I thought everybody wanted me to do. Letting go isn't a loss. That's it. It's spiritual obedience, it's clearing space for God to move. If you want alignment, make space. If you want clarity, get honest. If you want overflow, you have to stop hoarding emptiness. You are not full of God's promises because you're still stuffed with your past. You have to let it go. Let it go. And that's just the fucking truth. There's a reason why you feel like you can't let go. And we're gonna touch on that right now because it has a lot to do with trust. Again, I don't know how many times I have to reiterate this because it was definitely just a message that I had for myself is that I was broken. You are not broken. You are scared. And it's not even that fear is not even surface level. It is spiritual. And it's masquerading as control, perfectionism, procrastination, hyper independence. Oof. Whatever you've been masking. You're just justifying not letting go. And the root of it, and this one is going to be really hard because I know I was very defensive the first time I was told this. Okay. And these are the exact words that were said to me. You don't trust not God, not people, not time, yourself, not yourself. And at the truth hurt because I was like, I've given all my trust to God. Like I have finally laid it all out. I get that I can't move without him. I don't want to move without him. I need him. I need his forgiveness. I need his power. I need that. I need his love. I need all of that. So to tell me that I don't trust him, I've been spending time with him every day for a year and a half. Every single day I'm with him and you're telling me I don't trust him? I took that personal. And it wasn't until I was honest about that that I actually have moved into feeling closer to him. You just don't trust that it's safe to be empty. You know, you hold on to shit that you hate because it's familiar. You know how to survive in dysfunction. Like you've built a whole identity around it. So letting go of that weight means you have to sit in stillness with nothing to numb it, no distractions, nothing proving your worth. You just have to sit in the stillness. And that's terrifying because stillness feels like death when you've built your safety around the noise. And the truth is, you'd rather carry that pain than sit with possibility. And that's frustrating. That honesty is just like, oh my God, the clarity that comes with it. You just are not trusting that something better will come. You haven't let go of shit in your past. The things that you've outgrown, the people that you've outgrown, the company that you've outgrown, you're still hanging on to everything. You're not letting go of the version of you that barely survived. Because you're convinced deep down, like, what if this is as good as it gets? So you're clinging, some of you, to your toxic ex. You know, you're clinging to the 5-year plan that's been dead for 2 years. You're clinging to the business model that's bleeding you dry. You're clinging to the identity that you created, thinking that it was going to be safe for you. You've let go, and nothing better shows up. What then? You'll have to face what you're afraid of. And I know what that is. You feel like you're going to be disappointed by God again. Instead, you know, you're hoarding scraps. Scraps don't disappoint you. You already know the taste of disappointment. Let's just hold on to the bullshit. Maybe God doesn't do scraps. You just haven't made room for the feast that He has prepared for you. You don't trust yourself to handle the unknown. And let's be honest, letting go means releasing control. And you've survived by micromanaging everything, your image, your responses, your energy, your plans. You don't trust that you'll know what to do if things change. If you actually leave that relationship, if you actually quit that job, if you actually let go of the idea of who you were, if you actually become the version of yourself who doesn't settle, so you hold tight. And then you're calling it wisdom. You call it just being realistic. But it's not, it's fear, just wearing a fancy mask. We're still performing for our healing. And trust is saying, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know I'll be okay. You don't need to know how. You need to know who's got you and who you're choosing to be. That's it. Very, very fucking simple. You need to know who's got you and who you're choosing to be. You're not trusting that you deserve more. You say you want overflow. You're praying for love and wealth and health and clarity. You're praying for that, but your nervous system is still stuck on that shame, still running a script that says, this is all I get. I don't get more. So you hold on to broken things like they're your birthright. You keep broken friendships, broken belief systems, broken cycles because somewhere inside you still have that belief that you're broken too. You haven't fully accepted the fact that God doesn't bless you because you're perfect. He blesses you because you're His. And your unwillingness to receive, that's not humanity. That's unhealed trauma parading as spiritual maturity. It's bullshit. You don't trust that God will show up. Tell the truth. You've asked before. You've believed before. You've let go before, and it felt like nothing happened. So you're absolutely gun shy. And you're waiting on God. But really, you're just protecting yourself from hoping again. You keep one foot in Egypt just in case the promised land doesn't pan out. But you walk into the future dragging the grave clothes of the past. God can't fill what you won't empty. And maybe. It's not that he didn't show up. Maybe it's just that you refused to create space for him to move. And now you're at the level of maturity and emotional responsibility that you can see that. So what now? Letting go is a trust fall into the unknown. That's it. Your eyes open, your soul exposed. It's not a one-time decision. It is a practice. It's a faith muscle. It's a fire walk. And yes, it's fucking terrifying, but the alternative is worse. Dying slowly in a life that no longer fits. So I want you to ask yourself, am I holding this because it's holy or because I'm afraid to be without it? Am I staying because I'm aligned or because I don't trust that something better will rise when I release? Letting go is an act of spiritual warfare. This is a declaration that your past doesn't get to be your God anymore. And if you're still scared, that's okay. Do it with shaking hands. Do it anyway. That's what trust is. That energetic cost of holding on to what should have been buried, you have to name it. You're exhausted, but it's not from doing too much. You're exhausted from carrying the things that were supposed to be buried, the things that are rotting in your spirit, but living in your thoughts, that heartbreak, that betrayal, that shame-filled version of you from 5 years ago, or that shame-filled version of you 5 months ago, that dream that already died, but you keep trying to resurrect it. That is not nostalgia. That's emotional necromancy, okay? And there's a truth that no one says plainly. Every single thing you hold on to that you're supposed to bury is draining your life force. Your joy, your clarity, your creativity, your libido, your purpose gone. Not because you're broken, but because your energy is being bled out by 1,000 invisible cords tied to the past. You're trying to run a marathon while dragging corpses behind you. Your nervous system is on high alert 24/7. When you don't grieve and release the past, it doesn't disappear. It lodges in your body and your brain might say, I'm over it, but your nervous system is still screaming that we're not safe. So you snap at people for no reason. Me to my babies, you know, even this week I've caught myself snapping at the babies for what reason? Like, we're just here. It's fine. Life is not that serious. Maybe you're struggling with sleep. You can't sleep when you're tired. You feel anxious in calm seasons, self-sabotage whenever things get too good. That is not your personality. That is not who you are. It does not define you. That's unprocessed pain hijacking your system. Your body is a battlefield for a war that you're still pretending is over. So you're blocking that creative flow. You're blocking the spiritual downloads. Energy moves always, and spirit is flowing always. But when your emotional body is cluttered with that grief and that rage and that bitterness and that regret and that shame, that's where the constipation comes in. Energetically, you're stuck. So you sit down to create, nothing comes. You pray, but you're hearing silence. You journal, but it feels numb. You launch things, they land flat. Why? Because you're trying to channel the future through pipes that are clogged with the past. God is trying to give you new instruction. Every single day, he wants that opportunity to show you what's new, what's love, what's good, what's real. But you're too busy replaying the old trauma on the loop. And you're attracting people in patterns that mirror what you refuse to release. You ever notice how the same toxic pattern keeps showing up with different faces? Like the same arguments, the same letdowns, the same sabotages. That is not coincidence. That is energetic matching. If you haven't buried abandonment, you're going to keep attracting people who leave. If you haven't buried shame, you're going to draw in situations that will humiliate you. If you have not buried the belief that you're too much or not enough, you'll chase people who will confirm it. Until you break that energetic agreement, you're repeating the contract. And sometimes life will break you on purpose just to get you to let go. Your confidence is taking hit after hit. When you hold on to what no longer belongs in your life, whether we're talking about a person, a story, or an outdated identity, you question your ability to make decisions. I've been there. I'm like, man, should I launch this? I see a really great opportunity and I can't even trust myself to decide anything. I've told myself, maybe I can't trust myself. Maybe I'm just dramatic. Maybe this is all I deserve. Instead of stepping forward, I'm shrinking, procrastinating. I downplay my power. I self-edit. And the worst part of all of this is I would stop dreaming. That's what you're doing. You stop dreaming, not because you don't believe in God, but because you don't believe he'd bless you. We know he's there, but do you really think he's there for you? You're paying in physical symptoms. That's where it gets real. Spiritual and emotional weight has those physical consequences. Migraines from mental overload, back and shoulder pain from carrying emotional burdens, gut issues from repressed anger and anxiety. You're not sleeping because of unresolved, you know, grief or guilt. Chronic fatigue because your body is tired of surviving. You're living in defense mode and your body is trying to get your attention the only way it knows how. It's not just stress. This is spiritual stagnation made flesh. What needs to be buried? I'm not talking about what needs to be forgotten or bypassed or rewritten, okay? What needs to be buried with reverence, with ritual, with finality? That version of you that only knew survival, she can rest now. That story you told to make sense of the pain, it served its purpose. You justified what happened, now let it go. That betrayal that shaped your walls, it is not worth your freedom. You can't be resurrected while you're still clinging to the corpses, and the cost of holding on is your life. It is the joy you haven't felt lately, the presence you keep trying to pray your way into, the clarity that you're desperate for, the relationship that never fully lands, the money that always seems to slip through. All of it is blocked because you're emotionally overcapacitated and energetically unavailable for new life. The realest thing I can say to you right now is that if God's been silent, if your dreams, your manifestations, the things you're trying to pray for aren't working, if you're feeling stuck or foggy or flat or numb, it is not punishment. I want you to see this as an invitation to bury the dead and rise. Bury the dead and rise. Clear space so God can move. Because he's not going to fight for a room in a house that's full of idols, distractions, emotional debris. You have to get brutally honest about what is taking up space. And before you can clear anything, you have to face the fact that you're not empty. You are full as hell. That is real. But you're full of hell. You're full of shit that you don't need. You're full of those half-finished coping mechanisms, cycles, loops, conversations you should have ended, regrets that you replay in your head over single every night, mental to-do lists based on proving that you're enough, emotional contracts with people who don't even pray for you. God doesn't have room to move because you haven't made room for him. You keep saying, "Lord, show me what to do," but your spirit's cluttered with noise he didn't send. That's your call out. What are you giving more space to than God? Is it your past? Is it your pride? Is it your timeline? Your trauma? Start there. That's the altar that you need to burn. You have to clean up your physical environment because it reflects on your inner one. This isn't about being a minimalist, okay? Absolutely not. I mean, I have a big family, okay? Minimalist is not going to fit into my ideal lifestyle, okay? This is about energetic alignment. Your home, your desk, your car, all mirrors. And if every space you walk into feels heavy, chaotic, or uninspired, you're not lazy. This is showing that you're out of spiritual alignment. So honestly, just start small. Clean the corner that you've been avoiding. Take out the trash with intention. Throw away expired makeup and vitamins, like you're breaking up with the version of you that bought them to feel better. Burn the old letters and notes of reminders of what you used to be. Don't ask God for new while living inside an altar to your past. Cleaning your space is a prophetic act. It says, "I believe something better is coming." You kind of have to go through a fast from the noise because God whispers. He's not shouting. He's not screaming over Spotify. He's not yelling over Instagram reels, binge eating, trauma TikToks, or your ex's energy that still lingers. Like, if you want to hear from him, you have to turn down the volume on everything else. So try it. Try a 3-day fast from noise. I'm saying no music, no Netflix, no scrolling, all of that. When you're reaching for that stimulation, I want you to pause and ask yourself instead, what am I avoiding right now? Sit in silence. And yes, this is going to be absolutely uncomfortable. Let it detox you. You won't hear a new instruction until you become someone who is interruptible. And God rarely sends blueprints to people who are already too busy trying to be their own architects, okay? He's not forcing his way into your life. He's not forcing his plan on you. You have to empty out emotionally. Stop hoarding what should have been processed. The grief that you've swallowed, the anger that you shoved down because God is love, that shame you wrapped in perfectionism, like it's still taking up room. You're praying for peace, but you've got rage behind your ribcage. You're asking for overflow, but shame is sitting in the seat of where that faith should be. So write, scream, cry, beat the shit out of a pillow. I tell my kids all the time, fucking hit a pillow. Do it unto the Lord. Get it out. God can handle your mess. He can't move in while you're still pretending. while you're still performing for your healing. There's no room for him. We're talking about you need an emotional exorcism. You have to purge the lie that you have to be fine to be favored. Cut off the energetic leak. Stop giving access to people that God closed the door on. That first person you thought of right now, stop giving access. God can bless you with clarity while you're still in the covenant with confusion. If he told you to walk away, stop asking for the sign. You got it. Cut it. Block them. Remove them from your stories, your playlists, and your playlist of pain. You're not being rude. You're reclaiming your energy for your calling. That's it. Burn the bridge. Every time you entertain what he told you to release, you're delaying your destiny. It is not grace to stay attached. It's disobedience dressed in people pleasing. Declare with your words that you are making space. The tongue is powerful. So speak it out loud daily if you have to. You know, God, I release anything that you did not assign to me. I clear the space emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, mentally, fill it with you. Speak, I'm listening, move, I'm ready. Words cut contracts. Words open gates. Words shift the atmosphere. Stop agreeing with chaos and start agreeing with heaven. Create actual white space in your calendar. If you keep saying that you're burnt out, but your week is still booked top to bottom with busy work, you want divine instruction. Stop worshiping productivity and start honoring presence. Cancel what's not in alignment. Block a day for a prayer, for walking, for stillness. Say no without explanation and stop asking for permission to rest. God isn't filling a calendar that you don't invite him to. Make space, not just in your schedule, but in your soul. You're not waiting on God. He's waiting on your real, true surrender. Clearing space is not passive. It's violent obedience. It's spiritual warfare. It's saying, I'm done trying to run the show. I'm done building altars to trauma. I'm done blocking the flow. Move. God, I'm ready. And once he sees that you've actually made the space, this is where he starts to move. He will not delay. He will not delay. This wasn't just about clutter. This is about the truth that you've been asking God to move, but you haven't made space. You want overflow, but your spirit is on back order because you're still storing pain and people and patterns that should have been buried. That physical mess is your mirror to your emotional mess. That emotional hoarding is spiritual blockage. Holding on is costing you peace and power and purpose and presence. And that trust isn't about knowing the next step. It's about clearing the stage so God can rewrite the entire scene. You don't need another manifestation method. You need a funeral for the shit that has been stealing your future. When you finally let go, when you take your hands off of what God never told you to carry, when you clean the room, delete the notes, end the soul ties, and mean it, that's when he shows up. And that's when the clarity hits. That's when the door opens. And that's when the flood comes. Because God doesn't bless chaos, he blesses prepared space. You have to go first. Pick one thing today, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and burn it down. Make room. Watch God move. Do a dump your brain in a journal. Delete all the notes in your phone, whatever that looks like for you. Maybe you do need to burn that huge box full of, you know, half-written journals that you've been holding on to. You guys, if you have missed out, if you have missed out on, I need you to check the show notes. If this episode hit you in the chest, good, because it was meant to, because you're not crazy, you're not lazy, you're just full of God, what God told you not to carry. So I want this to be the day that you're going to drop the weight. This is the time that we clear the clutter. This is the time that we make room for the next move for God in your life. But check my show notes for the links to all of my favorite things. Okay. These are tools I actually use on the daily. And my friend just reminded me of another one that I use that I could absolutely share with you guys that I love. So I might add something new today. And if you want the PDF companion to this episode, I've got a 7-day Make Room for God challenge. It's free and you get that if you're on my email list. Okay. And that's where the real deep work happens. You can listen to this, but actually putting pen to paper and getting deep with your healing is where it's at. So get what's yours. And don't forget, you do not need to be more. You need to be free. And if you've missed out on this month of Burn It Down, I want you to catch up on this week's all four episodes, okay? The first week this has been about emotional inventory. So episode one was what the hell am I actually carrying? And this is the real emotional weight behind your burnout, okay? Behind your binge cycles, your avoidance. The truth is, you're not tired, you're spiritually overloaded. Episode two, if you missed that, that is rage, the resentment, and the righteous burn. We went all into the anger that you've been taught to hide. Basically, your rage is not a problem. Okay. The grief you refused to name, that was yesterday. And I know it wrecked some people. You name the silent sadness that is sitting in your bones. Okay. Ungrieved grief comes out in the way of self-sabotage. So if you're on that self-sabotage loop, that episode is definitely for you. And then today, obviously, we're talking about the clutter. Next week, I just want to let you guys know it's still the month of burn it down. Okay. So we're going to start building, but it's going to look different this time. So we've created that sacred structure rooted in rhythm and peace and divine alignment. We're not about the hustle. We're not about the burnout. Like, we're making legacy moves. So make sure you are subscribed, whether it's my YouTube channel, Audioboom, Apple or Spotify. Get on my email list, turn on notifications. Make sure you're getting those free tools that I drop with every episode. Okay. Burn it down so you can build what lasts. And I will see you guys next week.